Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Midway through the flight, she jumped up and ran to the cabin door, which is the door to open up the plane.
Not
the
pilot's
place?
No, not the actual. As if to say, I'd like to leave.
I'm out here now.
Okay.
I'm gone now.
Yeah, I'll see the rest of you people.
The passengers tackled her.
This is Wilbon's dream. Wilbon talks about this on every flight, that he might have to disarm someone.
Well, they get the zip ties.
Because they got to go past him in 1A.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
All righty then. We're live at Chatter. Chatter starts serving breakfast weekday morning, 7 o'clock in the morning. We have a lovely crowd in here.
Hey, good morning.
Very, very nice. We're at the corner of Jennifer Street Northwest and Wisconsin Avenue Northwest. I think everybody knows that by now. Gary Braun is here. Chris Saliz is here. Michael Kornheiser is here. Nigel will run the board and do the news. Some local announcements. My daughter, Elizabeth Lauren Kornheiser, again, not to be confused with Elizabeth Hardwick Kornheiser, the wine queen.
Elk versus Eck.
Yeah.
Revealing a lot of private information today, I see.
Anyway.
That was not for air.
Off to a great start.
Not for air.
We'll cut that out. On the re-air, we'll cut that out. Anyway, Lizzie bartended yesterday, had a very nice crowd.
Yes, that's right.
Had a very nice crowd and is going to bartend again today in the day shift. Like that's right. About 11:30 to 4 or something like that. And she wants me to let everybody know this, that we are going to have, this is a lengthy announcement, I guess, because we are doing the Selection Sunday show this Sunday. We're going to start at about 7 o'clock and probably go to 8:15 or something like that. But that's probably when we're going to go.
So
Gary
Tom,
Williams will, what?
When you say we, so... So I guess I'm in.
You're in if you want to be in. Gary
awesome.
Williams,
in the
Michael
audience.
Wilbon,
yes. Yes. What are we talking
Kevin
about
Sheehan, Gary yep. Braun, myself, and whoever else is here. Oh, Liz Clark just... said she'd be here. David Aldridge yes. said he'd be here.
Cool. Saliz
can be here. This is all fine. But we're going to be pretty crowded.
Yeah.
We're going to be pretty crowded, and the extent of the loudspeaker system basically goes to the end of the bar. It doesn't go into the dining room or something
That's
like
right.
that. So just please be aware. Come here. We love to be crowded. But don't get angry at me if we're crowded and you don't hear. We're trying to do a show here to please as many people as possible.
And the good news is if you're here and for some reason you can't hear us all that well, guess what? We'll upload the podcast shortly
exactly.
thereafter and you can listen to it.
By the way, another podcast way. On Saturday afternoon, Hot Mess.
Hot Mess, that's right.
With Makeup Renee and Juanita.
Yes.
You know, and this is, they're bringing in about 30 or 40 people to listen to that podcast, and my fervent hope and dream is they all order food and drink.
What is yes. Hot Mess
Hot
about?
Hot Mess is about makeup and clothing and the travails of being a woman around 50 years old.
I'm not invited to be on that one either.
You're not invited to be on it. You're invited to listen to
yes.
it. Now, the sponsorship
also known as
is important.
The Coug cast.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, a couple okay. cougars out there, sure. So, I'm sure they're hotties, right?
Yes,
they're
they are.
Women.
They are. Yeah. So this is what we've got. We have a sponsor, an overall title sponsor for the Selection Sunday show, and I'm reading now. Now you can stream our podcast and several others like it on Spotify.
Right.
Open the app on your mobile device or desktop. Click on the Browse channel. Then click on the Podcast section. Start streaming today to stay up to date on the NCAA tournament's latest news on Spotify.
There you go.
So I've done that. And now I need to deal with something that I think is more important than anything else I'm going to deal with today. And it is very local. Is there going to be a snow bomb on Sunday night into Monday?
Sunday.
Because we're going to be doing the Selection Sunday show, guess when, on Sunday. Okay. Doug Kammerer last night got all frothy, you know, at the thought of a lot of snow converging on the Washington, D.C. area Sunday evening, Sunday night, and through Monday. Not simply measurable snow, maybe up to a foot of snow.
No.
And he asked, doesn't everybody want big snow? No.
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 I don't care what you dopes in the weather business want.
Want
the rest of us who have looked at the pictures of the successive nor'easters do not want that in any shape or form. I do not want a Sunday bomb snow. And then I'm watching Sheena Parveen today, and she says this thing that they all say. When they're confused, they say, The competing models are not agreeing.
Yeah,
so what is it that you do?
We roll with
what
the
is it that
read
you
models.
Do?
Model readers.
Right? I mean, if you're a meteorologist, do you just sit down and drink tequila and wait for the models to come in? Like, do you do any enterprising meteorology on your own?
No, I think it's model interpretation.
It's model interpretation.
That's all
Didn't
it is?
Didn't Kevin Sheehan tear that veil away from
yes.
you?
But
Kevin does a sports show.
But that's all that his point is, all meteorology is looking at the models and sort of guesstimating what's going to happen.
So what do you think? Are we getting a snow bomb?
No. I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to get rain.
Rain's better than snow.
Rain
at this
and maybe
time.
a little wintry mix on
no,
Sunday.
No, I said rain. That's what's going to happen.
I'm trying to help you out.
Okay, I'm just putting it out.
I have a prediction.
I'm as qualified. If I could learn how to read the models, I'd be as qualified to be a meteorologist as any of these.
You
other
could learn
people.
How to read them in 5 minutes.
Yep. So yeah, it's harder than that to learn the rules of basketball.
You don't subscribe to the GFS.
I think clouds are going to thicken Sunday morning. Wet snow or rain is possible from the
you're
afternoon.
Reading.
To the...
You're
no,
reading.
I'm not. How dare you?
I'm watching you.
How dare you?
Is possible. No. However, a slight shift in the storm track.
We need to work on your teleprompter skills.
How did you know? I don't know. A jog to the north might mean more of a rain event.
You're young.
Is that what they meant when they said it's getting stormy?
What are you getting? No.
You're going to get rain. It's going to be in the
40s. Why don't we play Stormy by the Classics? For why don't we ever play that? It's going to get a rain?
No, it's going to be 40 degrees on Sunday.
Yeah, but before that, it's going to be in the 20s.
Okay, look at so at that time of year, what happens Saturday evening?
Yeah, it gets colder.
What happens to the clock?
Oh, it moves ahead.
So what does that mean for the sun?
Oh, this is getting
I don't know. I don't really know.
Well, you get an hour more of sun.
I've never actually understood the concept of daylight savings time as having any effect on anything but the clock.
You're on Tony's standard time.
I don't really understand what
it Did you not notice?
This is you.
Do you people not follow this? We are artificially making time. That's what we do.
Time is
we
a flat line.
We have artificially described the day in order to have the need to know where we are at certain times. If we just say, for argument's sake, that for 6 or 7 months of the year, it's a little later than it should be. That doesn't mean anything. The sun comes up when the sun chooses to come up.
That's when it
chooses. It hits the height of the sky that it hits.
Mind
and it
blown.
Goes,
the sun has its own...
The sun comes up and does what it does.
It's going to do
it
what it
doesn't matter
sun
what time
sun.
It is.
For a control freak, this is a very healthy attitude.
Time is artificial. It's artificial.
Did you not
notice? Your watch is artificial.
Time and space are infinite.
Just anecdotally, did you not notice this morning? Now you have a different drive than
I got
though we share the last 2 miles.
I got sun in my eyes.
Yes, sun in the eyes.
I noticed.
There you go.
Dear Dr. Hoffman,
I hope you feel smarter, people.
I am writing to see if you and the gang would wish my son and medium little Lucas Tillman a happy 12th birthday occurring on the 7th of March. Is that today or did we
that
miss?
That was yesterday.
Yesterday.
Please accept as tribute a bottle of this fine Puerto Rican rum that my wife recently smuggled out of the protectorate. Okay, she picked it up duty-free at the San Juan Airport. So don't let the truth get in the way of a good tale. For Pete's sakes, don't waste this on Saliza and his Malibu-style proclivities. This is sophisticated, dry-style sipping stuff and reasonably well-rated. Have Gary look it up. Thanks, as always, for the wonderful show. My wife and I began listening to the podcast in 2006 when we moved from Arlington, Virginia to Melbourne, Australia.
Oh, that's a bit of
a commute.
As
it kept us reasonably connected to the region. Now we often listen and on
now
and on.
Now that's annoying.
The next time you have Spo, Coach Spo on PTI for 5 good minutes, tell him his 1987 Jesuit High School Portland, Oregon backcourt mate says hello, and he owes me a phone call, Bigs Helping Littles. From one English major to another, Mark Tillman, Mount Laurel, New Jersey, who's Robin Buffalo's friend, who I know, who comes to this place a lot. Nigel, I'm not a rum guy. You put your hands on that rum and you
just took you were all over the rum.
Yes, I was very excited about it. Thank you very, very much for that.
It's, you've already been into it?
It's about halfway done. Yeah. Very good.
He got into the rum again.
Where in Billings,
maybe
Montana.
Maybe initials?
And it says, Dear Dr. Hall, Wall, in an attempt to diversify your Monopoly game board, please accept the enclosed tickets from Montana as my small thank you for delivering such a great show for many years. I go to the grocery every day so I don't have to go to Ingleside. A bunch of uneaten food on a regular basis. I'm happy to divert a handful of tickets, give you another chance to win $25.
I would like you to open
those tickets. I opened up the one from Bellingham, Washington.
Nothing didn't help.
I want one of these people to give you a ticket that's like a $1,000 instant winner.
Well, what's the grand prize? Is it a knife set this year?
No, the grand prize is a $1 million prize, and then a $1 million vacation home is the co-grand prize.
But
I
don't choose.
And I only need one because they only have printed none. They printed none, so that's why I only need one. College basketball. This is what I did last night. Before I went to sleep at a preposterously early hour, as I always did, there were four games on basically at the same time. There was St. John's, Georgetown. There was Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. There was Notre Dame, Virginia Tech. And there was Bucknell, Colgate. Yep. I need to read from Howard. I need to read Howard's tremendous disappointment at Bucknell.
They needed a Donald Foyle last night.
Now, that game was close for about 10 minutes. Bucknell wasn't doing very much.
It was tied at the start.
Howard writes, this is painful for me to watch. The Colgate Center is awful. And I write back, the Colgate Center is a philosophy major. You think that Kentucky has a philosophy major at center? And Howard writes, he's playing like a philosophy major. We need exercise kinesiology majors, sports communication majors. And then he says, by the way, philosophy major, very hardcore and prestigious at Colgate because the school started as a training place for ministers 200 years ago. They got beat. Bucknell is in. Bucknell not wearing the great unis. Wearing the home unis, the white ones. The great ones are the road orange unis. Anybody, you watch?
I did watch some of it.
Bucknell's pretty good.
They're good.
Aldridge thinks they can win a game.
The point guard is good.
Aldridge thinks they can win a game.
One or two of the bigger guys is good. They would beat the Georgetown Hoyas.
St. John's, they would beat the Georgetown. St. John's, finally this year, in its third try, beats Georgetown. And I have to concede this. And Chris, I think you're going to have to concede this as well. It is heartwarming to see Patrick Ewing and Chris Mullen as grown men embrace after the game. They were great, great players. Mm-hmm. They were great, great players. That made me happy. St. John's has a similar record to Georgetown's 15-15. St. John's is 16-16. But whatever Georgetown has, it doesn't have the back-to-back games that St. John's had.
No.
St. John's beating Duke and Villanova would have been the single greatest run in the entire season had Michigan not beaten Michigan State and Purdue. And you could argue for St. John's because they're terrible comparatively to Michigan. So that game, I was okay with that game. Oklahoma State beats Oklahoma fairly easily. Trey Young, and now a lot of people who go on TV now are saying, boy, everybody put this kid in an impossible position. This is patented nonsense. This kid was great for 10 or 12 games. He was leading in the country in the dual major of points and assists, which nobody does, except Pete Maravich 40 years ago.
He has fallen off hugely, as has Oklahoma, which is amazing to me because I think Lon Kruger is a really good coach. But
he was 7 for 22 last night because defenses have figured him out, and he hasn't stopped shooting. Now, he also assists very well, but they have lost 8 of their last 10.
Yeah.
They've lost 11 of their last 15.
Fallen off a cliff.
And the only reason to put them in the NCAAs is because CBS understands that people will tune in for the one game that Trey Young plays.
I believe, though, Tonin, Gary might be able to check this faster than me, but I believe he is still leading the country in points and assists.
They're 18-13.
I mean, he's fallen off, but that's still remarkable.
Here are teams that are allegedly not in. Remember, Oklahoma 18-13. Oklahoma State, which just beat them last night and is 19-13, is allegedly not in, and Oklahoma is. Syracuse is 20-13. And not in. Like, they're the next four out. And Oklahoma is still in.
So the Oklahoma Oak State thing, they're both 8-10. Oklahoma a half game better, having won yesterday. But
no, Oklahoma State.
Or Oklahoma State, half game better. But the RPIs, Oklahoma's is like in the top 50.
They've played a very, very hard schedule. But I don't think they should get in over teams that beat them head-to-head late in the year. I
think
Binghamton
should get in over
Syracuse.
Binghamton's
not getting in. Syracuse's not getting in either. The best game I saw was Notre Dame, Virginia Tech. Notre Dame was down 21 in the second half.
It was over.
21 in the second half to a good team. To a good team. They outscored them 31-5 in the last however many minutes. Notre Dame got Bonzi Colson back.
Yep.
Notre Dame's allegedly not in. Notre Dame should be in. Bonzi Colson makes a difference.
I was going to say, especially because with Bonzi Colson, they were a top 25 team. He has basically been out almost the entire year. He got hurt in October, I think, or maybe November. I mean, he's been out They're good, and they have a track record of success in the tournament.
I'm not trying to bite the hand that feeds me, even though it's going to sound that way. ESPN is the hand that feeds me. ESPN's overnight led completely with NBA games. You know, I would have... Maybe the NBA has a larger audience because the college audience is more fractured and more regional. Maybe that's true. But this is the time of year where it seems to me that every night you lead with college. You lead with college because cool stuff happens every single night. But
unless it's a buzzer beater.
That's probably.
Once they do the, you know, you get into Duke, North Carolina, or Duke, Virginia, or North Carolina, Virginia, you know, but they're not going with Virginia Tech. That game, right, which is a great game, they're not leading with that unless it's a guy hits
so
it at
did
the
they
buzzer.
When you say led with NBA, I mean, I can see leading with
the Rockets
go to 17, but you mean they did like all NBA?
No, not all, but they did a couple of other NBA games. Michael, that's how did Penn do? Did Penn play?
No, that's on Saturday.
And they're playing at home?
At home, yes.
Against Yale?
Yale, the dread.
And are you terrified of Yale?
I'm terrified of Yale because if we lose, my mother-in-law, who only watches basketball for 3 weeks out of the year, will crush me for this.
Oh, that's right. She went to Yale. Yeah. And one of your sisters-in-law went to Yale.
Thayer, my sister-in-law, went to Yale. And my wife turned Yale down, which gives you great pleasure.
It does.
That is great.
It does. It does. Wow. To go to Duke.
Hey,
yeah.
Michael, like question.
Are any of them educated?
Yikes. So Princeton that's did impressive. Not make the top four in the Ivy League this
correct.
Year. I was listening yesterday.
Cornell, you
I didn't
said
realize.
Made it.
Yeah, Cornell
did. They've had a little bit of a resurgence.
I thought Princeton was sort of default. I mean, Princeton is the long time.
Princeton. Harvard has come on strong in the last
yeah,
5 years.
Yeah, with Tommy Amaker. Binghamton not in the tourney. Drew not in the tourney.
Binghamton
and
not
Sussex
in the American
Community
East
College
tourney.
In Midlothian. England not in the tourney.
Yes, sadly.
Yeah, that's too bad. All right, so we'll get out of here.
Well, Georgetown still, by the way, still available for a
for
bid.
The NIT.
What? Well, I mean, the tourney, as I call
it. Well, they're not going to be invited to the tourney. No, they're not.
Well,
not
to the NCAA. A tourney?
So we'll get out of here now. We'll come back with Pat 40. And I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a SeatGeek read. Buying tickets can be complicated and confusing. There's a better way to buy, and that's with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every type of live event, whether you're searching for a last-minute deal, planning a night out with friends, or need the perfect gift. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like being there in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value, which Chris knows because Chris has used this. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is guaranteed, and consequently, you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. I added that myself. Consequently, I said that. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Best of all, my listeners listening to the Tony Kornheiser podcast are going to get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. You just download the SeatGeek app, SeatGeek. You enter the promo code Tony today. That is promo code Tony for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
The band is called Lovin. The song is called Wits End. Has a very good garage feel to it as
doesn't
I listen
it? Yeah.
to it. I like this. We ought to bring some of these people in here.
Perform live.
Into Chatter to perform right. You know what? I don't think we're able to do that at night.
That's the thing.
But why can't we do it during the day?
Yeah.
Why can't we just bring them in here just for our pleasure to sing and dance?
We could do that.
Laugh a while you can, monkey boy. All right. Pat 40 of Yahoo joins us now. Pat will, of course, be one of the people who picks brackets for us next week. But I got to get to the most. To me, this is how I started the show. I started with college basketball, and I started with Oklahoma. And I understand there's a great appetite to see Trae Young because he's been the most exciting player all year. They're 2-8 in their last 10. They're 4-11 in their last 15. They're 18-13. They just lost to a team that's 19-13. I don't know how they get in unless it's a TV deal. I know you don't sit in the room, but do you think they're in?
Boy, Tony, they might be out now. You know, as you said, I mean, just the slide has been unbelievable.
Terrible.
And, yeah, I mean, it's tough to make an argument for them to be in based, you know, I mean, yes, okay, they won some big games in December. December's a long time ago versus the team they're going to put on the floor in March here. And, you know, I think they just so dramatically overachieved early that it's caught up with them now. I mean, I saw them play in person in January against Alabama, and Alabama was much more talented than they are. And Alabama's a bubble team. So,
yes.
You know, I think they were hot early, and now they've come back to earth, and I'm not sure what you do with them, but they may be out.
I mean, I understand if you're sitting in the room, I understand that there's a bunch of people are going to say, let's talk about the entire body of work. And that's fine. But you cannot eliminate the late trend. You just cannot eliminate that. They've lost 11 of their last 15 games.
Yeah, and as you said, they got ran off the court by another bubble team last night.
Yes.
So, I mean, if you're watching that game, it's got to be hard to say, yeah, we want Oklahoma, we want Trae Young when they can't even really compete with another team that's very much on the bubble. So they may be out. It's amazing just the collapse. They play no defense.
No.
And, you know, it's unraveled to a shocking degree for them.
All right, let me get to a whole bunch of things that interest me. And I think the number one thing to me is Sean Miller. I know the reporting that you have done at Yahoo, and I know, you know, this was an ESPN story. And we talked a little bit about Sean Miller, but the last time we talked, he had not come back out on stage and categorically and point by point denied every single thing that was reported about him, and then said, and I'm going to coach, and I'm going to coach tonight. And I think that the question for all of us, and each answers in a different way, I guess, is do you believe Sean Miller, Pat? Do you believe him?
I mean, I'm not sure whether I believe him or not completely. All I know is that was a very, very strong statement.
Yes.
To make, you
yes.
know, I mean that if you make that strong a statement and you're lying, wow, yeah. I just it would be very surprising to me to have that kind of brass. I Mark Schlabaugh is a friend of mine, and I've known him a long time,
and he's good,
very very good reporter.
He's good, yeah.
But obviously, there's major dispute about that story, and I don't think Sean would have come out that strongly if the story was 100% right. So, you know, now I think it'll all come out in the wash, but how long is that going to be? Certainly, you know, we're not going to find out probably for months or maybe even more than a year. I'm not sure. But, you know, the one thing that pricked my ears up is when listening to him talk is when he threw out the word defamatory, because that's obviously
a
legal word.
Yes.
Yeah, and yeah. Is he going to bring a lawsuit in this? That's, wow. I mean, you know, to even be contemplating this going into March in these important games, he's obviously on the offensive here.
Maybe this is a better question then. Do you think he'll be the coach of Arizona next season?
That's a very good question. I still think that's up to serious debate, just based on beyond this particular story. I do know, you know, from what we've reported, obviously he's had a coach who's been fired,
yes.
arrested, under investigation by the FBI.
Charged.
Nothing to coach. See here, folks.
Yes, it's right there.
Yeah, another coach who's been implicated, you know, in emails that we saw, Joe Pasternak, as far as dealings with the same agency, with players, and so that the old NCAA rules are out. The new NCAA rules are: you are responsible for your staff, and his staff is not just implicated but arrested.
Yes.
So, okay. You know, hey. I think he's very much in doubt for next year.
Chris? Hey, Pat, would he? Tone was talking earlier this week about the most amazing thing about Pittsburgh: 0-19.
Yeah,
in conference, would he ever go back? He went there. Would is that a possibility?
Yeah, could Sean Miller go back?
Maybe that's
there.
A huge step down.
No, I mean, yeah. Well, it's a huge step down, but you're still in a power conference at a place that's won a lot of games. The question is he hireable? If you're,
yeah,
you know, I mean,
right.
Are you hiring a guy that Arizona is going to fire? That the NCAA is going to charge with major violations? I don't know. I mean. That's the thing. It's a heck of a precarious time to be hiring and firing coaches. You know, there are a lot of people that could be in limbo in this thing. So I don't know what the heck, if you're Arizona, if you're Pittsburgh, I don't know what you do.
So the best story that we had yesterday on PTI, and it was not the lead story, but it was the best story because you had to lead with the Seahawks and you had to have, you know, something about the Rockets. The best story is the notion that the Memphis University or the University of Memphis, whatever they call it, is going to dump Tubby Smith and hire Penny Hardaway, who's going to bring in my old camp counselor, Larry Brown. And Wilbon turned to me and he said, does this make sense? And I said, only 100%. Because Penny Hardaway is a native of Memphis. He's coaching high school and AAU in Memphis. Their attendance is terrible. This is, you know, a month ago, I would have said, you're dreaming on this. Now I think it is tremendously intriguing. What are your thoughts on this?
Oh, it's tremendously intriguing. That's for sure. I mean, it's wild. I mean, I thought Tubby Smith was a terrible hire. I thought it was unimaginative. You know, as a guy that has had some great years, but was well past his prime. And now they're going to swallow like $9 million.
$9.7 million. But I think I'm just guessing that the people at FedEx have that money. I'm just going to take a shot at that. Yeah.
That's Fire Miller with cause money.
Yeah, right.
That's Just send the FedEx envelope with $9 million in it and take care of that. You know, Penny has never coached above Memphis East High School.
Nope.
Hasn't run a program. He's an absolutely magic name in the city. He does have players who are immediately attached to him. Can he go out and get players after those guys are through in 2 or 3 years? I don't know. And look, Larry Brown may be the best coach ever. He's also gotten 3 schools on probation.
Small details.
Yeah.
Let's not nitpick.
That's right.
He's a heck of a camp counselor. I understand that.
Great, and
has won a lot of games and national championships and stuff, but he's got some vacated seasons out there, too.
I mean,
Memphis is a bit of a bandit program, always has been.
Yes.
Wow, Larry Brown would certainly, he would fit the bandit mold.
But one of, you know, Memphis is one of those cities, and Washington, D.C. is a city like this. If you only recruited the best players in that city, you'd have a competitive team. Memphis is a petri dish for basketball and has been since the days of Keith Lee. Now, I don't know if Penny Hardaway can call, but if I'm sitting there at Memphis, I make this move. How about you? I do.
Yeah, you know, I mean, really, honestly, it has been since the days of Larry Finch, probably in the early 70s, late 60s. I mean, that is a great basketball town. There is talent there. There has been talent there. There will be talent there. I would like to see him do it from my standpoint, from my job, because I think it would just be fascinating. I mean, you know, what an experiment it would be. And I think it would certainly add an incredible jolt of energy to the program. And you're right. I mean, if he brings in the guys that are playing for him now and are in the city, they'll be immediately competitive.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing can build on itself. And then if you're keeping the Memphis guys home, you're going to have a chance every single year. I think it would be a lot of fun, at least, to see how he does. He may not be able to coach his way out of a shoebox. It may be like Chris Mullin to a degree at St. John's.
Yes.
But if he's getting players, hey.
Well, and if Larry Brown is doing the coaching, he knows how to coach.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Whispering in Penny's ear. Chris mentioned Kevin Stallings' precarious position at Pitt at the moment. I can think of somebody else in that league, Josh Pastner, who seems to be in a precarious position. But I'm interested in what you're saying. That, you know, that you don't want to start firing and hiring because there's this, you know, 500-pound gorilla in the room that is an FBI investigation, right? What happens to people like that?
Sure. I think athletic directors will be more cautious when it comes to firing people. I think you may see more guys get that extra year just because, you know, it's so unsettled right now. And then make a decision next year, you know, because there's nothing athletic directors and presidents love more than to stand up at those press conferences and say, we're bringing a man of great integrity and character, and then 3 months later, some document comes out saying, yeah, his guys were all getting paid by some agent, you know. So it's a very, very dicey time. I think, you know, if you're Pittsburgh, you've got to make a move. If you're Memphis, you probably have to make a move no matter how expensive. But if you're on the fence whether to make a move, this would be a good year to not do it and just see what the landscape's like a year from now.
I call on your expertise as someone who lives in the Commonwealth of Kentucky to talk about John Calipari's interesting position that somebody has to care about the education of these young men if there's not going to be one in Duns.
Someone.
John, I've never heard John Calipari utter this sentence. Yeah, I'm going to recruit you. You're going to stay 4 years. You're going to get an education. You're going to be a better person when we're done. It never gets to 4 years with John Calipari. I'm not saying what he's saying is wrong. I'm just having some trouble listening to John Calipari say it. How did that play in Kentucky?
John Calipari could stand up and say, you know, that everyone should eat sausage three times a day and to live a healthier life, and that people would do it. You know, what he says is gospel in Kentucky.
Yeah.
But it's absurd. It's ridiculous. I mean, for John Calipari to say how to fix college basketball, I mean, is pretty comical, in my opinion, for one of the reasons you said.
Yeah.
I mean, he has charged through the one-and-done loophole, you know, for 7-8 years now at Kentucky, and nobody graduates. Some of them may come back to school eventually and do some work on their degrees, but nobody is there to do anything other than pass 12 credit hours and play and then go pro. So, you know, for us to be getting lessons on how to fix college basketball from him, I'll pass.
All right, I'll get you out of here on this. Nobody really knows what the Adam Silver outreach is to high school players. It's vague, it's undefined. But what effect, as you understand it, what effect do you think it will have on college?
Yeah, my understanding, I think he's very serious about reexamining everything and changing the status quo. He's getting a lot of push from college people to do that, you know, to get rid of the age minimum, to whether it's, you know, make the D-League more attractive, to, you know, put in, you know, sort of something like a baseball rule to let players have agents earlier. So I applaud him for being open to changes that, you know, right now the system works for him, and he doesn't, and the NBA doesn't really care about anybody else, but for him being open to thinking about the greater good of the sport, I think there will be change because I think he wants it. I think the Players Association is open to it. The college end, as I said, is certainly open to it. So, I think that he's pushing the rock in the right direction. I think something's going to happen. We'll see exactly what it is. But, I'm glad that we've reached this point to do something because the system is absolutely broken.
I mean, people need to realize it's not the colleges that want the one and done. It's the NBA that it's, you know, it's.
Sure.
It's, yeah, it's college. It doesn't. It's a bad rule. It's a very, very bad rule.
It's absolutely bad rule. All it does is benefit the NBA. Their guys get 1 year of good coaching and really good marketing in college, and then they come in more prepared than if they could go when they're 18. And so it works for them. But, it sure doesn't work for college. It sure doesn't work for higher education. So let's change it.
Thank you, Pat. We'll talk to you next week and get all your picks.
All right, Tony. Thank you.
Pat Forty of Yahoo, boys and girls. We will take a break. We will come back. Nigel will do the news. Lots of news stories when we return. I am Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Harry's ad. You know what would be nice for Harry's to do?
What's that?
To send us a bunch of razors so that when we have big crowds at Chatter, we could,
Whoa.
Give a few.
That would really be ratcheting up the
That'd be nice. And you hear the applause
game.
On
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
because the gifts that we're giving today were not much. They were cups and they were books.
Sex videos.
And sex videos.
Yeah, instructional videos.
Instructional videos.
Yeah.
Everybody, we really did give away sex videos. That guy just held it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody here uses the Harry's razor. We're all happy with it.
Love it.
Harry's is all about a great shave at a fair price, which is why over 3 million guys have switched to Harry's. Jeff and Andy, claiming to be two ordinary guys who are fed up with getting charged an arm and a leg for razor blades, started Harry's to fix shaving. Harry stripped out the unnecessary features like the vibrating handle and the 15 lubricating strips, etc., and the unnecessary cost to deliver customers a perfect razor at an amazing price. Good shave comes down to good blades because Harry's owns the factory. Yes, that's what Jeff and Andy did. Ordinary guys buying an ordinary factory. Because Harry's owns the factory, they're able to deliver an amazing quality blade for just $2 compared to the $4 or more you'll pay at the drugstore. And all the products are backed by 100% guarantee. Harry's is so confident you're going to love their blades, they will give you their trial shave set for free when you sign up at harrys.com/TonyK, and all you do is pay for shipping. Claim your trial offer free from Harry's today, a $13 value for free when you sign up. Just cover the shipping. It includes a weighted ergonomic razor handle, 5-position engineered blades with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, a travel blade cover. To get your free trial set, go to Harry's, HARRYS.com/TonyK right now. That's Harry's.com/TonyK. And they really ought to send us some stuff.
We
can give some of that out.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This band is called Walden, as in Walden Pond. The song is called Green Lights, as in F. Scott Fitzgerald.
This is a great opening.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great opening.
This is really good. Michael was in a bad mood yesterday because water had leaked onto his wife from the top of the ceiling or something.
I was more concerned with the leaking water. The fact that it found her was sort of amusing at 3:30 in the morning.
Right. So yeah, Michael didn't want to engage on things that we were selling or how people get their music here in order to be part of this live experience.
Well, no, in full transparency, in the last week and a half, our son, Walker, a beautiful 8-month healthy baby boy, has been going through a sleep regression.
Uh-huh.
So he has discovered object permanence. So when mommy puts him down in his crib, as soon as she leaves the room, he flips over and decides to cry for 45 minutes, and then he now sleeps sort of face down, wedged into a corner, waiting for one of us to come get him.
You let him cry it out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's brutal. You have to. It's so brutal, though.
I simply left the house when that happened.
Oh.
I left. I wasn't listening to that.
Yeah, I'll be back.
I mean, we had reached the point
where this kid
was sleeping through the night, and then when it doesn't happen, I'm out.
I explored trade-in options, and apparently you're a monster.
Well,
if
Gary
you want
had
to
twin,
trade your
twin
kid
boy, so it was easy.
Never bothered me. Sound of my kids crying.
So, do you want to tell people how they can send their music
you're
and
so
what
great,
sell
Gary.
It?
Yes, please send
Gary
your music.
Owns a Subaru.
Please send your music into jingles at TonyKornheiserShow.com. And of course, we are selling. We have the Reset the Board to Zero.
Oh, yes.
Nigel shirts.
Love those.
I do.
We have Nigel shirts.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yeah, Reset the Board to
and
Zero.
And they're an athletic material, so when you're doing those tough jobs outside, you can think of Nigel at the board.
If you see Nigel make the Reset the Board to Zero joke, he loves it.
Oh, yeah.
It's his favorite part of the show. It's why he makes the errors, intentionally.
Yes,
do we have some news?
We do indeed, Mr. Tony. Everything must go. Prices this low, we must be crazy. Of course, I'm talking about the Seattle Seahawks.
Yes.
Michael Bennett is gone. He is now...
Michael Bennett fell up. Michael Bennett goes from a deteriorating, once great defense to a very, very good defense at Philadelphia.
Actually now a great defense.
He goes from a marginal offense held aloft by, you know, string, tissue paper, and Russell Wilson's ability to scramble, mm-hmm. to a great offense in Philadelphia. So he's got a chance. He's got a chance for a resuscitation of a very good career. He's in the right spot.
Why was Seattle so willing to let him go?
That's a good question.
He's not that good anymore, I guess.
Well, there was some reporting that it's a little bit more nefarious than that.
Well, he's 32, so he's not young.
He's definitely on the downside of a career,
still.
As would Richard Sherman be, who's someone else
Richard
apparently
Sherman,
is going to be jettisoned.
He's unsure of his career, and Jimmy Graham apparently is also
There's two things about Richard Sherman. One is that he reportedly is saying goodbye to his teammates.
Yeah.
The other thing is his mom went on the Facebook and said that Richard Sherman will not be with
Seattle.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't know that she's the GM, but she said he's not going to be with Seattle.
Well, they probably told him, and he told her.
There's talk that Jimmy Graham, who was in the absence of Rob Gronkowski, mm-hmm. the best tight end in football when he played in New Orleans, with Drew Brees, who doesn't need to run around to find people.
Mm-hmm.
If they get Jimmy Graham, they are so good, New Orleans. They are so good.
Sure.
The NFC will have really good teams.
Yeah. I didn't know Michael Bennett was Martellus Bennett. They're brothers.
Yes, they're brothers.
I was unaware of that.
Believe
that.
Marty Bennett. I thought Michael Bennett would end up in New England because Marty Bennett ended up in New England twice.
Yes. Yeah. They just
released San Francisco, where Tony Bennett sang about.
Yes.
That would have made
sense. So when you say nefarious, what did you hear?
Well, I mean, nefarious isn't the word, but that there was some speculation that, you know, Michael Bennett and Richard Sherman,
outspoken.
Pretty outspoken guys.
Very outspoken.
And,
about
Doug Baldwin.
Trump, about,
right. As is Doug Baldwin on that team.
Yeah.
Yes.
But
But doesn't Pete Carroll sort of promote that atmosphere of like, I want you guys to be
They have not been criticized by management at all.
Not publicly.
Pete
anyway.
Carroll mostly just focuses on chewing gum.
It takes a lot of
we
mind should
space.
All be in that, and as good a shape as that guy at his age.
Yeah, seriously.
We talked some college basketball with Pat Forty just a minute ago. You didn't get to Michael Porter Jr., did you?
No.
With him? Yes, he is going to be back.
Wait. Weren't you here?
I was, but I was.
I mean, producing.
I was reviewing.
He just stares out the window.
It just happened.
The problem is, I read through the stories during that interview segment, and there's a great story about.
It's like the people right here that are on their phones and not even listening to you.
They don't care.
They don't care.
They're assuming I'm going to say something soon, so they're zoning out.
Well, I ask that question because most of the time when I say Michael Porter Jr. is going to be back, you're like, we just spoke about that, so I like to check beforehand.
No. We didn't speak about it. So he's going to play in the SEC championship. I think this is a mistake.
Yeah. He's played two minutes. 2 minutes.
And it's just the number one draft pick
thing, right? I mean, it's
the same thing with Gordon Hayward with the Celtics. I've seen him play, and there's all this speculation. Like in practice, he's out, you know, doing stuff, and they're like, "Oh, he's going to play this year." And
there's a big difference. Gordon Hayward got about $120 million.
Yes.
Michael Porter Jr. has no money yet.
Is he doing this to showcase himself?
It's a mistake, in my opinion. That's a mistake.
Yes. So there you go.
Better to be mysterious than to be found out.
But what if a doctor has told him you're fine? Anything you do is going to get you anyway. At this point, you wouldn't do any damage.
You have a bad back.
Yes, and I've been told not to play basketball. But if he's been told he can,
You've also been rumored as a number one pick.
Yeah.
Sure.
What in the world is
my mother not a prostitute
with
though.
Braden Holtby, Mr. Tony?
No, I asked you that when you said, "What are the news stories?" You can't turn that
just
around.
Just a rhetorical question.
You can't turn that around.
He allowed 3 goals on the first 9 shots he faced in the Caps' 4-0 loss to the Ducks on Tuesday night. Replaced by Philip Grubauer, Grubby or Grubby? What do we think his
name is? It's Grubby for
sure. Is it Grubby?
I've heard it on the internet. Grubby is.
Grubby sounds better. Less than 6 minutes into the third period. This is the third time he's been yanked this early in his past 6 starts.
That's not trending well. That's Oklahoma, kids.
Yeah, right.
That's not trending well.
Yeah, and I believe.
Coach said he's the man. Still the man.
Is he the man?
Yeah.
Then how come he's not playing?
I don't know. Need to get his head right or something. Yeah. You'd have to ask the coach.
I believe Neil Greenberg came out with a piece just yesterday saying that
we haven't had him on in a long time.
Well, I think we might
because he said,
"I love this title." He said, "The Washington Capitals sit upon a throne of lies." It sounded like he was saying they're going to get crushed in the postseason.
Let's get him on.
He says this every year. He's your boy,
isn't he, Chris?
Yes, he is a great. And a great guest.
Yeah.
Funny,
yeah.
interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hockey goalies is a fascinating thing. The psychology of the hockey goalie. Because Holtby was long thought to be.
It's relief pitchers.
Yeah.
Once they get that in their head. But
you got to go back out the next day. I mean, that's what you do.
You do. So. Tiger Woods, Mr. Tony, hoping to build some confidence from his strong starts or relatively strong starts so far this year and taking some inspiration from Phil Mickelson's win. He is going to be playing, the Valspar Championship starting today.
Have you ever seen, Valspar is a paint. Hmm. They have these fabulous ads with the chameleons that walk through the paint and adapt new colors. They're really good ads.
That's how they do it. Sort of creepy,
but very good ads. I watched Tiger be interviewed. I watched that this morning. And Tiger said, I've played 10 rounds. I'm feeling really good. I've only played 10 rounds. I gotta play more golf. In previous comeback attempts, Tiger and I will yield to Michael on this, but it always seemed to me in previous comeback attempts, Tiger was very defensive when being interviewed. He doesn't seem defensive now while being interviewed. He seems actually happy to be playing.
I think that has more to do with the fall that he had last May with the DUI.
Yeah.
And that has given him a different outlook on golf, his role within the sport of golf. I think he probably felt a lot of shame as to that side of his fall. If we look at his comebacks, he's never really made it to the Florida swing. So he's starting to make it back to deeper into the season. He has his sights on Augusta. I think he probably looked at Phil's win last week and said, if Phil can do that, why can't I?
Exactly. I'm 7 years younger.
And the PGA Tour has given him a gift by pairing him up with the hardest competition in those 10 rounds. So even though it's a small sample size, we have to amplify it because he played with Justin Thomas and Rory McIlroy. And for the first two rounds this week, excuse me, he'll be playing with Jordan Spieth.
Whoa, what happened to your voice?
I'm sorry. Yeah, so
no, that happened to me for 4 weeks.
Runs of the family. Cares? Yeah.
I think it has to do with not sleeping as much as I would like. no, but he gets to play with Jordan Spieth. So
welcome to life.
This is a great window into throwing that game against the current best players in the game.
I think it's great for him to do that. I mean, don't measure yourself honestly against DA Points and Aaron Baddeley. Don't do it. Go out with all that spotlight and bathe in it again.
Do you not think that he, and I think this is a major factor, that he is playing with the least amount of pressure in his entire career?
I certainly think it's a lot less pressure right now than other people think it is. Yeah. I think he seems actually happy, which is a miracle. And right. You would never have called him a happy person.
Right? And in his other,
no.
Never.
Well, and he was never close to other players in competition. In these tournament rounds, we are seeing him talking and joking with the enemy, which he never did.
Yeah.
In his other comeback attempts, hasn't it already sort of been derailed by this time in the calendar year?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There's one
a hit
or
a back or withdrawal.
No, I'm just going to sit out a week and I'll be back and then another year. Mr. Tony, this was one of the things I was researching while I did not listen as attentively as I would have liked to with your conversation with Pat Forty. What goes up certainly must come down. 2011.
Amelia Earhart?
Do you want me to get to that?
No.
Okay. The Chinese 9.5-ton space station known as Tiangong 1, the translation for that means Heavenly Palace or Chatter,
One.
Believe it or not.
Chatter. Heavenly Palace 1.
It is coming down, and the reason we should be concerned about this is because there's going to be a lot of parts floating around the sky as they come down.
They don't burn up?
Some officials say, don't worry, the chances of something actually hitting you are smaller than winning Powerball.
Of being hit by flying debris are greatly reduced if you're inside.
Let me guess. They have competing models as to where this is going to fall
and they're
down.
Not in agreement.
Well, okay, so first of all, the time frame where it's going to fall
is tonight.
March 29th through April 9th, okay? And it could fall anywhere between Spain, France, Portugal, and Greece. But there is also a chance
that
parts of the United States could be hit.
Well, which parts?
And I looked on this map that they
Pinehurst.
Have. Now, you can't see this, but there's a yellow bar across this map. And in the middle of that yellow bar is Washington, D.C.
Is that right?
20015.
So we're going to get a snow bomb, and we're going to get that.
Ship Heights.
We're going to get Heavenly Palace 1.
I'm not saying it's going to, but we are definitely in that sweet spot for it to happen.
I wonder if Chatter has
space
insurance.
Well, your dream scenario for you
that is an act of God.
The entire thing crushes Chatter when no one's in here.
Yes.
Then you can get out from under this.
Yeah, then you're out.
Yeah, get the insurance money and...
And yesterday
we
also talked about incident on a plane where the woman said, "I am God," tried to open up the flight. Well, this is on a Southwest Airlines flight from Dallas to Los Angeles. I guess they landed in L.A. and then a fist fight broke out. Mm. It's unclear as to what the fist fight was about, but
reporting.
Yeah, I think it was all over Chris Saliza. You see this one man in a sweatshirt repeatedly throwing punches in another man's face. Then some rather large gentleman gets up with his neck pillow still on,
gets
in that guy's face. Sweatshirt guy punches him, knocks him down. With the pillow goes flying off.
He knocked the big guy with the neck pillow down?
Knocked him out. Then somebody tackles him, and the upshot was everybody missed their connection, and nobody was very pleased. This, of course, is on a Southwest flight, and I believe the hashtag was Walmart of the Skies. This is not something I expect.
That's funny. That makes me laugh.
Two hits, me hitting you, you hitting the ground.
That's right.
Let's get out of here.
One last quick story.
What?
This is a public service announcement for our littles in San Diego. Residents near San Diego are warned.
Oh, George. George is in San Diego.
George.
Mitrovic.
Oh, there you go. Well, George, be on the lookout.
I always mispronounce his name. It's either Mitrovic or Mitrovic, and I always say it the wrong way. So
George E.M., right?
George is great.
Watch out for...
George's son listens all the time.
A four-legged Fugitive. This is a 5.5-foot monitor.
Our fugitive's name is Dr. Richard Kimball.
Go well, get
check
it.
The hen house. Check the outhouse.
Check the chatter bathroom.
Right.
Our bathrooms are state of the art.
I don't understand. How do those urinals work? There's no water in them.
Dan Kelly. He knows what
someone
doing.
Needs to explain it to me.
It turns it into water that they then use at chatter.
Stop.
I think that's
not true.
We have state of the art bathrooms. If you consider Leroy Neiman an artist.
Yes.
Then we have state.
So this 5.5-foot monitor lizard, not named Dr. Richard Kimmel, is named Bubbles. Bubbles, the monitor lizard, escaped out
like
of...
Like a hall monitor?
Well, you know, they're like little Komodo dragons. They're huge.
Well, what?
And so he was last seen on Sunday at the store Mike's Pets in Spring Valley in San Diego.
Mike's Pets.
Mike Estevez, the owner of Mike's Pets, says that Bubbles probably managed to escape through a tiny crevice at the bottom of his cage. Security camera footage shows Bubbles sauntering towards the rear of the store and then wandering out into the wild. Yes. So, and now he says, Bubbles is good around people and often roams around the store while customers are around. However, he says, do not try and grab him because he'll probably kill you.
Yeah. Mm.
So there you go.
That's good advice.
Wonderful. All right, let's get out of here. We will come back with Old Guy Radio. I am Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Spotify ad. This, people, is how you write an ad, okay? This gets to the point better than the other ads that we have that go on and on and on. Here we go. Everyone knows Spotify is the place to go to stream the latest and greatest in music, but you can now also stream podcasts. It's easy. Open the app on your mobile device or desktop. Click on the Browse channel, then click on the Podcast section. You can also stream on your smart speaker. They have all your favorites across news, entertainment, sports, and culture. Start streaming now.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Old Guy Radio for the day. This is Take It to the Limit by the Eagles. We're playing this because Randy Meisner, who sings lead, is 72 years old today. And if you... There's a documentary. I don't know if anybody's seen it.
Oh, no.
On the Eagles?
There's a two-part documentary on the Eagles.
What channel?
I think it was on Showtime a lot. And
there we go. Sorry.
There's
good
a
job,
part where Randy Meisner doesn't want to sing this song, right? Because it's too hard on his voice.
Well,
and Glenn Frey wants to kill him. Wants to fight him on stage.
Well, yes. Yeah. Apparently in 77... This became the song everybody wanted to hear at the end of the show.
It's
but Meisner
song.
Got anxiety about it because I'm not sure if I can hit the high notes.
Right.
So he would sort of, you know, vacillate every time. And at the end of this, well, in the middle of this tour, June of 77, he was sick. And at the end of the show, they said, "Great, we're going to come back and take it with the limit." I take it to the limit, and he was like, "I'm not going to do it." And that's when there was
kill him.
There was a physical altercation after that.
And tries they said, to kill him.
Southwest flight.
They
type
froze
of situation.
Him out for the rest of that tour, which ended in September. And immediately following that,
fired him.
Was replaced by Timothy B. Schmidt,
yeah.
Who also replaced him in the band Poco. So we played Timothy B. Schmidt replaced him twice.
Pogo?
Now Poco.
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 Oh.
Yes. Now I do want to tell a nice story because later in life Randy Meisner was sick. He's still with us, but he was very sick. In 2013, when the Eagles went on this world tour, they brought Bernie Ledden back and
yes.
They said, "Randy, we'd like you to come with us." He was too sick. He was in the hospital. He could not go. And I always thought there was bad blood between all of them and Meisner. And it turns out that the rest of the Eagles paid his hospital bills.
Isn't that nice?
And I thought that was just a lovely story.
That's very nice.
Yes.
It's very nice. Michael, do you want to tell people the message I left you last night as I was driving home?
License plate?
Threatening?
No. I don't think I can accurately describe the voice and the glee in that voice when you were breaking down the license plates on your way home.
No, but that's not the one I'm talking about.
Which one? I get a few voicemails.
Uber drivers.
Oh, gosh. This was my own personal 2-minute Old Guy Radio segment. On Uber drivers and the way they just stop in right lanes. It wasn't just Uber drivers.
This, Lyft drivers.
This was Lyft drivers
They're
as well.
They're all from Virginia. They are all from Virginia.
They, 0-60.
They have these, they have the telltale
sticker.
GPS stuck up, you know.
On the windshield.
Yeah, yep. Right on the windshield.
The
they have
windshield.
No idea where they're going. They stop whenever they choose to stop. They pull U-turns. In rush hour,
illegal
in
U-turns.
Connecticut Avenue, you cannot do this. They are not following the rules. They're illegal. They're bandits. They're terrible. They're terrible. They should be arrested and deported to Virginia.
Right. This isn't Vietnam. They're just terrible.
You don't mind them driving here, but they must drive here legally.
It's just off. Am I wrong on this?
No, I cannot be the only one
that believes this.
By the way, and they oftentimes, at least in the kind of cars I take, it's these like huge Suburbans. I mean, it's like big old SUVs.
They do not follow any of the rules, and they get away with it. There should be special police who find, who just cruise around, find them when they do this,
pull them over,
and get them out of here.
Yes.
Get them out of here.
You described a system where, after a certain amount of offenses, they lose their ability to drive.
That's right. They can't be drivers. They can't be drivers. Now, in the old days, I would have wanted to shoot them in the fleshy part of the thigh. Right. And I don't want to do that.
Or just tap them.
You've mellowed.
Yeah, it's a kind of legitimate.
You just want them deported.
No, they do this on Nebraska Avenue.
And I want them deported to Virginia.
Yes,
it's right. I don't want them leaving the country.
In Nebraska Ave, right by American University, which is a very busy road, but they stop all the time. They just throw the hazards on for, you know, a couple of minutes.
They just flip them on, and you have to change your life for them.
Yeah, and by the way, sometimes it's not to drop somebody off. They're just waiting to pick someone up, so they just stop, and you're like, you can't do that, mate.
Yeah, so Uber's, or Lyft, is Lyft like a lower-class Uber?
No, same thing.
Just a less brand penetration.
It depends on the city. So certain cities, like I think in Austin, Texas, Lyft would be the big one.
Okay.
Certain California cities, Lyft is bigger.
So it's not like an automatic thing, like the difference between Mercedes and Ford.
I don't think so.
Okay. Because I hate the Lyft drivers too.
Uber is more cities where I would say Uber is more popular.
Yeah, they were more prominent sooner.
Now, the issue I tried to describe to you last night is when you actually need a Lyft or an Uber, you sort of have to buy into that system because you're just looking to get somewhere easily. You can't necessarily
What happened to
park.
Cabs in America? I see cabs all the time. Why can't people take cabs?
It's harder to get a cab to your house. Yeah. Even when I call up a cab at a certain time, they're often not arriving at that time.
And this is a better mousetrap. I mean, when you used to call like whatever cab service here in D.C., it would take an hour and a half to get to where you were. Yeah. And when you'd call them up, they'd say, oh, it's on its way.
How about when you call for the massage people? And they don't return your calls, and they're employed.
Seems like a bad business model.
They should be deported to Virginia as well.
You know, one other thing.
Can I, on taxis? Yes. You know, in New York City, taxi medallions used to be
a huge million dollar value. Not so much anymore.
It's down a guy told me last week, roughly $200,000, which is still not bad, but Uber.
Get one for a couple of Bitcoins.
Medallions are going the way of payphones.
Yep.
Yeah.
I thought that was fascinating.
So I think I've told you that I have the ability on my clicker to press the little blue button
Wi-Fi,
and it says listening, and then you say what you want to watch, and it gives you what you want to watch. Okay. George Washington University, where I sunk a whole lot of money for tuition, George Washington University opened the Atlantic 10 tournament last night, and I wanted to watch it. I assumed it would be on TV. And so I press my listening device, and I say, Atlantic 10 basketball tournament. You cannot get more specific than that.
Yeah, that's too long of a phrase.
Atlantic 10 basketball tournament. Nothing happens.
Uh-oh.
Nothing happens. Then I press again, and I go, George Washington basketball. And it turns out, I believe this to be true. I don't know, because then I manually went up and down the dial for like 800 numbers.
Yeah, I was going to say 7,000 numbers.
I don't think it was on.
Could it have been blacked out?
How is it possible that the Atlantic 10 tournament was not on television? Maybe I did something wrong.
No.
I could not find. I knew the GW game started at 8:30. I knew that because that was advertised on the crawl on all the games I was watching.
I have another thing that you can use because we share the same system. When you want to watch a
I was told by everybody at Comcast that they would be there for me, and that you know, Steve-O, who has been very pleasant and has called me up, and he said, this solves all your problems, and I pressed, and I said, George Washington basketball.
Well, this is an alternate solution to that. If it doesn't come up for whatever reason, there's a C button. It's just the letter C. If you hit
What's that?
It shows you all the sporting events that are up, and then you can scroll through.
I don't know how to do that.
I think he's explaining it.
You press the C button.
So you just press that button.
C for sports?
No,
S-E-A?
No, it's just C.
See, oh, the letter C?
Yeah, for sports.
The letter C.
The letter C for sports?
It's the button they have chosen.
Was that game on anywhere?
I was going to say, answer your question, there is no chance that the A-10 tournament was not on television.
Yes,
and
I
certainly
could,
on. Now, there may be a chance that GW was blacked out locally,
How could that be? This is a tournament. You wouldn't do that.
I guess you wouldn't.
And yeah, the tournament's here.
They're playing at Capitol.
The tournament's here.
Is it possible you screwed something up? No. Or is that possible?
It said listening.
Get real,
and
Gary.
I said Atlantic 10 basketball tournament, and then I said GW basketball. Then I said George Washington. And I didn't. I couldn't.
Did you try saying representative?
No, I didn't do that.
Zero. Or basketball.
Zero. Zero. Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Chris is here. We never
does that thing
Chris
work
anything.
Largely, though? The talking
yes.
thing?
Yes. Yeah, it does. Good.
But I'm telling you, that C button will access anything that's on with sports. And if there's a little TV set in the corner of that box score or whatever, that says it's on TV.
Chris, the look on his face for people who aren't here is, I'm never going to do that.
I don't think it was on TV.
Really? Is it possible it wasn't on TV, the Atlantic 10?
I think today, the second round is the first time, and these games are going to be on NBC Sports Network.
I'm sorry.
I thought 8:46. Or 8:48. I thought that would be
the
on
the ACC had a tournament game Tuesday at noon.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
The A-10 wasn't on? Wow.
You gave this how long last night?
What do you mean?
Like 20 minutes?
Yeah, so I kept wandering around. I went through. I started at one. Yeah. Should have
tried that blue button.
700.
What did you settle on? Hallmark?
No. I kept just going. I tried to find
Fixer Upper.
Chris. The Stormy Daniels story.
I'm not familiar with it.
Yeah. I don't know how many people I speak for in the sense that I actually don't care what happened. But I don't understand this part. What is she suing for?
Okay, this
what
I
is
do
the
understand.
Lawsuit for?
Okay, the lawsuit is very.
She already got $130,000
for allegedly nothing, according to Donald Trump's personal attorney.
If you take that money, doesn't that say that you have agreed to the terms?
So here is the situation, very briefly. There was a hush agreement. Which is basically, you know...
There's a kind of hush all over the world tonight.
Correct. I was setting you up.
Yeah.
Agreement to not talk about it.
Right.
Okay.
That was signed by her, Peggy Peterson, aka Stormy Daniels, aka Stephanie Clifford.
Yes.
And by Michael Cohen, Donald Trump's fixer, basically.
Well, signed by him on behalf of the LLC.
But not signed by...
David
Dennett, President Dennison, a.k.a. Donald Trump. So
a.k.a.
What,
Ron Mexico.
Oh, God. So what she is contending, a.k.a. John Miller,
contending
is that it doesn't hold up because Mr. Dennison did not sign it. He never signed it, and therefore it is not a binding agreement.
She took the money.
But that is immaterial because it is not a legally binding agreement. And what she wants, to your question,
she wants to be freed.
She wants this
to tell her story.
Imagine what the story is.
To be declared null and void. Well, I mean, presumably, yes, but that's not in it.
Okay.
She wants it to be declared null and void so that she is free to tell her story without fear of legal reprisal.
She's told her story.
No.
She told it years ago to magazines.
I would say the outlines of her story, which are that she and Donald Trump allegedly engaged in an extramarital affair in 2006, are out there. Presumably, there is more to the story.
Did you read the story in the Post today? It had a lot of detail in it.
Yeah.
It had a lot of detail in it.
Let me.
Donald Trump afraid of sharks. Reasonable. See, I'm afraid of sharks.
Right. Who isn't afraid
Who's
of sharks?
Who's not afraid of sharks?
Right.
So that's what she is. Okay. That's what she is. Is suing for. That is what the court case, the lawsuit is about.
Let me further complicate things as an armchair attorney. The agreement,
which is to say you're not
the
attorney.
Agreement I mean, was with Ms. Clifford and what consulting? What was it
Essential
called?
Essential
Consulting.
Right. Which is Michael Cohen.
Yeah.
Of which Cohen is the sole member.
Right. So in other words,
so it doesn't
President
really,
Dennison doesn't need to have his
Dennison
name on it.
It doesn't bind him to anything. It wouldn't affect him. It'd be like if you signed an agreement with This Show Stinks LLC saying I would or wouldn't do something. Whether or not I sign it is immaterial. She made an agreement with Essential Consulting.
Right.
So their argument would be, I would presume, that it his signature is immaterial. You made the agreement with us.
She took the money.
What happens if she just breaks the agreement and
well,
just
goes public? Does the White House want to sue her?
Well, really? I mean, I think that the fear is she would be in breach and that Michael Cohen... I mean, this is someone... No, Donald Trump probably is not going to sue her. Remember how he was going to sue... He said, I am going to sue... Every woman and who has falsely accused me.
He's still
going
to do that. He's just waiting until the audit is over.
He denies the details of this. He denies the existence
of it. Says that they do not
know
one another.
And the press secretary comes out and says, nobody cares. Honestly, nobody cares.
No. And by the way, had she told the story prior to the election, it would not have changed the election.
I don't know that no one cares. I think that... Most people who have watched his political career recognize that this will not be the straw that breaks the camel's back. People may care. That's different from believing that this will have any material impact.
This is my follow-up question. Why does anybody resign anymore? I mean, why did the mayor of Nashville, why did she resign? Right. Why?
She resigned basically out of a plea deal because they had...
Why does anyone resign? Why does any governor resign?
Well,
why
you might as well...
Governor Missouri said, I'm not going anywhere.
Well, yep. the Republicans typically don't.
Well, he's been indicted.
He's indicted.
He? Yeah. But he's
but nothing has happened yet.
Why would you? Yeah. Why?
I mean, I contend, I know from people who were close to him that Elliot Spitzer, the thing that he regretted most in his life is resigning. That he should have simply said, I'm going to keep going.
Yeah. I mean, see what happens.
Let's plead it. Let's see how it plays out.
Yeah, let's roll it. Let's see.
Kip Sheeman.
Let's see what happens.
Right. We'll see how it plays out.
And by the way,
what does the NAM say?
Maybe this doesn't matter, but in the case of Stormy Daniels, who is someone who has had, over the course of her life, she has taken money for sex in one form or another, doesn't that, I don't know if it impeaches her as a witness, but doesn't that hurt her a little bit in a matter like this?
She's not alleging sexual assault or sexual misconduct.
Not at
she's
all.
Simply saying, we had this affair. The end.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think it's different. I don't think it's fair to say.
Yeah, I mean, it's not
she's compromised because she has sex for a living.
It doesn't change the fact that she may well have had an affair with Donald. Her profession aside, she's not. There are pictures of Donald Trump and her together.
Oh, sure.
And if you believe,
nobody doesn't believe this.
Well, and if you believe what is in the restraining order that Michael Cohen filed against Stormy Daniels February 27th, that was included in her lawsuit, there's language in there that suggests she has texts and photos.
Pictures.
Okay.
Well,
so long ago,
you
Chris,
say okay.
That's from back in February.
But
I mean,
what might the pictures be of?
I don't know.
What if she had, like, compromising pictures? That would be.
Okay.
What if it's the two of them at Golden Corral, enjoying a nice
chocolate? That's what I mean by compromising pictures.
What if they're sitting around
dipping in the
piano at Ingleside?
Playing a show tune.
Yeah. Run.
So that's that.
Okay. It's really not.
I'm sure we won't talk about
the biggest problem
today.
It's not the biggest problem plaguing the country right now.
It's not. It's really not.
I mean,
all right,
issues.
So we'll take a break. We'll have a jingle and email when we return.
That's right.
It's a very long show today. Tomorrow's show, I have to go to the gym. Will not be that long. I have to sit down and do exercises as if I'm FDR.
That'll be great for your leg.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
I used to use the stairs until I started geriatric care. I'd walk the dog and I'd yell at clouds. Now Liz is in charge, so that's not allowed. One day she took me for a ride. Then we stopped at Ingleside and then she laughed and sped away. I realized that I'd have to stay. It's 4 p.m. now, it's time to feed me the same mashed carrots that Bootsy's eating. I texted my son, said, how are you, kid? He texted me back, new phone, new disc. For some reason I can't explain, everyone here seems to know my name. Say I was a billionaire, but that was when I used the stairs.
Jerry Negrelli is the master.
Man, that is good.
He's the master.
It's really good.
He's the master.
Great job.
Let me thank
Pat Forty. Allow me to point out, Jerry's site, because people a lot of times tweet at me, where can they hear this or that jingle?
Yeah.
I should know the site, I guess. Littlesongs.net.
Okay.
I think it's where, sure he, that's it. Where you check. Can hear littlesongs.net.
Let me thank Pat 40 of Yahoo. Let me thank the sponsors today. Spotify, a very good short ad. Harry's Razors, SeatGeek. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, leave us a review. Happy birthday to Bruce. Happy birthday to Jason.
It's happy birthday.
Happy birthday to Jason, who's here.
Stop screaming at
from the
guests.
Other Tony from them. Bethesda. The next impossible barrier to be breached is a marathon in under 2 hours. Runners and sponsors are making a real push, and we may even see it happen in your lifetime. It is a record that has stood for more than 2,500 years. Even Wilbon might be impressed. What's the record for a marathon now?
Let's look it up.
From Jason Guthrie in Centerville, Virginia, I had wondered about what a doctor of humane letters would put after their name in the manner that a medical doctor would be an MD, a dentist, a DDS, a scientist, a PhD, and it turns out that you would be Tony Kornheiser, LHD. I probably would stick with Hoff-Woff, but the option is out there. I learned on Monday that the letter part in LHD is useful in writing a 10-letter last name on a golf ball using a Sharpie of indeterminate age and low quality, which struck me as not an easy feat. I am the little who was fortunate to have Matt Jones at DC Tree ask me to come and help with your job, as he needed an additional set of hands. You and Chessie were both very gracious and kind, and I appreciated you taking the time to sign the ball. It now sits next to the TPC Sawgrass in the display case. I plan to head to Chatter before the next Flying Dog tournament at Whiskey Creek on April 23rd if you'll be open. Here's hoping that Gary and Michael will be there too and not using their beer tickets.
The fastest marathon ever run under controlled conditions. So basically they set it up to have him try to break the under 2 hour
2:06
mark. 2 hours and 25 seconds.
It's going to be done. From Jennifer Swart, who's a doctor who writes, longtime listener and little, I'm an orthopedic radiologist practicing in San Antonio. Never fear, though, I trained at Johns Hopkins after medical school at Columbia. Listen to your show every day at work, often on repeat, so my office mate kind of sort of hates you at this point, I think. Sounds like Tony has trochanteric bursitis.
That's what I thought.
Typically lateral hip
pain. We talked about that.
Radiating down the leg, most severe while lying down, and then upon standing up or getting out of chair or car.
Yep.
We typically treat it with a steroid shot under ultrasound guidance. Take care.
How long do you have?
It's either that or Lassa fever.
I think that's very good.
I think they call it the clear.
Timothy Palomero, a doctor. Take it from someone that does orthopedics. Get your back checked. It may be a disc, which sometimes happens after yoga. Yoga has ruined my life.
Yeah, it really
has. I'm never doing that again.
Yeah.
From Taha Jamil, also a doctor in West Bloomfield, Michigan. Dear Dr. Tony Hoff-Woff, sorry I'm a few days behind, but I feel you need advice from an actual professional. I'm qualified by virtue of multiple letters after my name. Two more than you, in fact. I'm a board certified in physical medicine and rehabilitation and sports medicine. If a patient came to my office with symptoms like yours, after a thorough examination, I would most likely suggest physical therapy and prescribe a topical anti-inflammatory like Voltaren gel. If I weren't particularly busy, I might even do the ultrasound at the initial evaluation. This test would be completed in about 15 minutes and will allow us to visualize the problem and appropriately tailor your treatment. If you do not respond to conservative measures at the follow-up, we would discuss the possibility of trying injections of either a steroid or possibly platelet-rich, it's hard to say, plasma, PRP.
Ooh,
that's
incidentally,
Kobe.
Oh, yeah. Voltaren gel can be purchased over-the-counter in Canada. I'll pick up a tube for you when I go there next Friday and mail it to you. It should arrive at Chatter soon. That is fantastic.
Option three, amputation.
From Jack and Sheila
just
and
rub some cream on your body that some
greetings,
little sends
Hoff-Woff.
You. It's a great idea.
Came for the Big Ten tournament to see the Boilermakers fold in the finals. Flight canceled today, so we scalped tickets to the Hamilton matinee. $300 each. Sweet. Stopped by Zaro's and were greeted by Brian Zaro, bringing seeded rye home. That's great. Dakota Dunes, South Carolina. We get this from T. Sabonis. Little Caesars is okay in a hurry. It's cheap pizza, but the secret is to put it in the toaster oven the following day. A noted toaster oven chef like yourself should have this information for life. Is this the real Sabonis?
Yeah, is this Arvydas Sabonis?
Arvydas Sabonis?
A
Why
Sabonis?
Is he in Dakota Dunes, South Carolina? If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live!
The best.
Thanks, everybody.
What? No. To play us out?
Bye.